All right, let's open up here tonight to, first of all, Matthew 6 and then Exodus chapter 20. Matthew 6, then Exodus 20. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Now, y'all are very familiar with this. I know if you used to, well, probably are anyway, but. Verse 9, 6:9, Matthew, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you'll go back, just keep your finger there for a second. Exodus chapter 20. If you'll go down to verse 11. The Lord in the fourth commandment is discussing the Sabbath day. And he says, for in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, or that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and it says he hallowed it. So hallowed be thy name, and he hallowed the Sabbath day. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for a chance to come back once again. Missing some of the faces from this morning. Thank you for the visitors that were here. Some folks are under the weather. Pray you take care of them. Others have trials and troubles in their lives. Father, we pray for housing for those that need it. Father, for health and recovery from sickness for those that are hurt or sick. We rejoice in successful surgery and hope that little Elena might recover fully with no problems. Father, we're just aware of your goodness to us. Now, you've been good to your people all along, Old Testament and New. And we pray we might just think about these things a little bit as we go into this tonight. And Father, pray you might just help this to sharpen our knives just a little bit here. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the reason I read Matthew 6, 9 is because, hallowed be thy name. the joke is that, a kid said that God's name was Howard because Howard be thy name. I found that funny. Anyway, that's only two times in the New Testament that the word hallowed is used. And the other one is in the other account of the Lord, the so-called Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. Now, when you go back to Exodus 20, that's the first time the word hallow is used. And it said there that the Lord, at the end of the verse, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And I'd like to talk about that for a little while. It might escape your attention that the word holy is actually an adjective as used in the Bible. It's a descriptive. In other words, it's the holy Sabbath. It describes the kind of Sabbath it is. It's the holy scriptures. It describes the kind of scriptures they are, right? As opposed to the Koran, which is not holy scripture. The Holy Spirit describes the type of spirit that he is, the Holy Spirit. I know that can be a name as well, but that's God declaring what it is to him. It's holy. Now, at the same time, you read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, at the end of the verse, that the Lord hallowed the Sabbath day. And hallow is a verb. Holy is an adjective or a descriptive, and hallow is a verb. And so God hallowed it, that is, God made it holy. Now, the great truth is that God said the Sabbath was holy, and so because he said it, it is. But just please take your Bibles to Jeremiah for just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 17. And just notice an interesting thing. Here you go all the way from the giving of the law in Exodus 20 all the way to the end of, in almost the end of the history of Israel, where these folks are in captivity now. Jeremiah 22, notice down in verse 17, Jeremiah 17, verse 22. And notice how this is phrased. Now, the Bible says that the Lord hallowed the Sabbath. He made it holy. It was holy to Him. But notice verse 22, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Down in verse 24, end of the verse, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein. Down in verse 27, but if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day. Now just continue that theme into Ezekiel real quick, Ezekiel 20. And here we are going from the giving of the law where God hallowed the Sabbath day, where for people, the holiness of the Sabbath day still isn't settled, all the way at the end of almost Israel's Old Testament history before the captivity. Ezekiel 20, go down to verse 20, where it says, and hallow my Sabbath. You mean you still haven't gotten that straight? God declares it holy, but you still have to hallow it. Verse 20, and hallow my Sabbath day, and they shall be a sign between me and you. So it's Israelite. You may know that I am the Lord your God. And one more verse or two here. Verse chapter 44, verse 24. 44 of Ezekiel 44, 24. And I think you get the point. But verse 24 says, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow all my Sabbaths. All right, so God can hallow something. He can declare it holy, so it's holy to Him. But you still have to hallow it for yourself. There's a great lesson there, that just because God declares something holy doesn't mean it's holy to you. And so I'd like to talk to you for a little while about that. I mean, after all, in Exodus 20, just a couple verses before what we read, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He's basically telling them that I call it holy, but you still have to hallow it. Now, so along those lines, some things in the Old Testament were hallowed by ritual ordinances. I mean, the Passover, the only place that the word rite, R-I-T-E, is used in the Bible is regarding all the things that pertained to the Passover back in Exodus. But things were hallowed by ritual ordinances, and they still had to, though, be hallowed in the hearts of the people of Israel. For instance, the Lord set up a scenario where on a Jubilee year, every 50 years, all debt was erased, all possessions returned to their rightful owners. It was really a reset of society. It was a reset of the economy. If somebody was in bondage as a Hebrew bond servant, you gave them their freedom back on the Jubilee year. Yet, for all I can tell, they never kept a single Jubilee. Here's the Lord who hallowed something so complete it would have totally renovated the society of the Israelites. And yet, as far as I can tell, it was never used. Men didn't hallow it at all. They didn't practice it at all. I think about, for instance, the Sabbath days. He said, these are my holy Sabbaths. And yet, still over here at the end of Jeremiah, near the end of Ezekiel, he's still saying, you still have to hallow my Sabbaths. They're holy to me, but they ain't holy to you. And so that's kind of what I'm after here tonight. Here is Uzzah, who puts his hand up on the Ark of the Covenant to steady it when the ark was being shaken because of the stumbling of one of the oxen. And the Lord killed him for it because he didn't hallow it. This was a holy piece of tabernacle temple furniture, and Uzzah and David didn't properly hallow it. And so the great lesson is that you need to hallow the holy. Because what God declares to be holy, if you're not careful, it's not holy to you at all. And it's supposed to be. The body of Christ is not subject to the ritually hallowed things. We don't have vessels that have been sprinkled with holy anointing water or anything like that. We're not, and the Catholics don't either. They just pretend. But we don't have any of those things, and it doesn't, you know, we don't have, in fact, we don't have to honor the Sabbaths at all. They're not holy Sabbaths to us. A Sabbath is a Saturday or a feast day, and we don't honor that. We don't have to. We're not even supposed to. And so that's good. I'm glad for that. We don't have dietary laws, those things that you could get killed over in the Old Testament. But while it's not in the Scriptures, one preacher has often said, all ground for the Christian is holy ground. And the basis for that is based on a couple of Scriptures, Colossians 3. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so I want to preach for a little while here. Everything tonight is an example of something that God hallowed, something God calls holy, says is holy, but at the same time, it has to be humanly hallowed by you for it to matter to you. So the Lord can call something holy, and if it's not hallowed by you, if it's not holy to you, then you don't line up with the Lord, right? So let me just take you to a few examples here. Let me take you back. We won't spend an awful lot of time here. And again, you should get the point, and I don't have to go through all the dozens of things that we could go through, but Leviticus 22, if you wouldn't mind. Leviticus 22, I'll give you just a few applications here. And then you can go look up whatever God says is holy that still applies to you in this dispensation. And you need to know that just because He calls it holy, it means it's holy to Him. But that doesn't mean it's holy to you. Right? If you're not careful, yeah, it's holy to Him, but you just give it a salute and keep on rolling. Right? And so let's look at that just a minute. Leviticus chapter 22, go down to verse 32, where in a passage, again, that deals with holy things and holy Sabbaths and all those things, it says down in verse 32, neither shall ye profane my holy name. So God says His name is holy. I don't think you're going to argue about that. And He says, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. He said, I, the Lord, I will be hallowed among you. One way or another, I'm going to be hallowed. And what that means in the Old Testament is that here come Nadab and Abihu. They have just, in Leviticus 9, watched fire come down from heaven, consume the sacrifice on the altar of burnt offering. And so they are, fired up. And for themselves, they go into the tabernacle and build a strange fire on the altar of incense, and God kills them dead. Now, that's somebody who got way ahead of God, but God said there are some things that are holy, and they're not. The problem is they weren't hallowed to Nadab and Abihu. Here is Uzzah, who again, I already mentioned him, he reached up and steadied the ark. At that juncture to David and to Uzzah, even though God said, that is my holy ark, they hadn't properly hallowed it in their mind because Uzzah felt he had the liberty to steady it. And the Lord killed him for it. So it should be a lesson to us that just because the Lord says something's holy, you need to make sure that it's hallowed to you and hallowed by you. I'll give you another example. Here's Moses and Aaron. First time the Lord says, smite the rock. The second time the Lord says, speak to the rock. And Moses smote the rock. Well, that rock was Christ in type. So the Lord said, for that, you're not going into the land. Okay? They didn't properly hallow God's word. They didn't properly hallow God's instruction. Here's Israel, and they murmured, they complained, they chode constantly. to the point that the Lord finally sent a plague among them and killed many. More than one time he judged them for that. I'm glad that we are not always slain when we do not hallow what God has hallowed. I'm glad for that. But we are going to the judgment seat of Christ. Do you really think that it'll escape the Lord's attention at judgment that an awful lot of God's people have not considered holy what he considers holy? That they have not hallowed for themselves what he has declared to be hallowed and holy? Ever think about that? I mean, I have to imagine that's going to be part of what goes on at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to be tested there of how you have hallowed the Lord, I believe. Now, I said we usually don't get killed for it. Praise the Lord for that, because I've transgressed more than once, right? But take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 real fast. I'll give you an example of what you might just keep in mind. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is a passage along with 1 Corinthians 10 about the Lord's Supper. Now, the Catholic Church calls it the Holy Eucharist. Now, we don't call it the Holy Eucharist. I don't even call it Holy Communion. But it's plain that this communion and grape juice is supposed to mean something to us, being saved. And so you get down to, where's my verse here? You get down to verse 28, where it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So you need to know, when you take the communion, you need to know what the Lord's body is. And let me give you a hint. It's not the bread. We are the Lord's body. The bread is representative of us communing together. And so you got to understand that. He goes on to add in verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body, in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Well, that does say that somewhere along the way, I don't know if he still does or not, but somewhere along the way, the Lord has killed some Christians who didn't discern the Lord's body. Now, what at least in part that means is that somewhere along the way, somebody has not hallowed properly. Now, I don't mean it's the literal body. I don't mean it's the literal blood, but they have not understood. They have not properly hallowed it as God hallows it. See what I'm saying? And so, theologically, we agree the Lord is holy. But is he hallowed to you? On a day-to-day basis, is the Lord himself, is he hallowed? Do you hold him as holy? Or is it just something you have in your creed? You know? Look, if you will, at something else along that line. Since we were in Matthew 6, you know what the Bible said back there. Hallowed be thy name, it says, right? The Lord's Prayer says, hallowed be thy name. Well, we know the Lord's name is holy, don't we? I mean, after all, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? For this cause, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day the devil himself has to bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. So we understand that the Lord's name is hallowed. It is hallowed. It's holy. But do you hallow it? For instance, how hallowed is the name of the Lord in the conversation of some Christians? Because I know some Christians that say, oh God, as a invective. Oh Christ. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus Christ. Well, that's effectively cursing. Now, I'm not trying to go legalistic on you, but it does say, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Seems to me that some of that's kind of vain. So in your conversation and just your daily life, how hallowed is the Lord's name in your conversation? How hallowed is it in prayer for you? I often just think, and I know it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine, but, you know, folks that in one sentence of prayer will say the Lord's name five times. Oh God, Father, Lord, thank you. Well, how many words was that? Six, and four of them were God's name. The first time you said Lord, he listened. The second time he's going, give it up, dude. Right? Because you hallow it by being aware that you're actually talking to God and that he's listening. And so I say, secondly, think about the Lord's name being holy, and you do hallow it, right? Look, if you will, at another thing. Look in Romans 1. Romans 1. I said, all this tonight is basically just an illustration of what I'm talking about, because you can go all the way through the New Testament and find the things that God says are holy or should be holy to you. And because he says they're holy, they are holy. But that doesn't mean that you have hallowed them. You yourself personally have to hallow them. The holy Sabbaths were holy to God from the start. All the way at the end of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is still pounding the pulpit on you have to hallow those Sabbaths, because they weren't. They weren't doing it, right? And I'm glad we don't have to keep the Sabbaths, but notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Romans 1, let's start with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures. Now, the scriptures are holy. I think that we probably all agree. Look in 2 Timothy, if you would, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15, talking to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Well, those scriptures are certainly holy to God, and what Muhammad wrote was not holy scripture, and what the Buddhists read is not holy scripture, and what the Indians have in Hindus is not holy scripture. But what we have is holy scripture. And those scriptures certainly are holy to God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or one tittle to pass from the law. Amen. Every word of God is pure. Add not to it, nor diminish not aught from it. Again, the Lord says to Moses, speak to the rock, and Moses hit the rock. He said, you are not going in to the land because you did not hallow what I said. And when I speak, it's scripture, right? So holy is what the scriptures are, but do you hallow them? And I know y'all know this, but this comes from Joel Osteen. Yes, I'm quoting Joel Osteen from my pulpit. This is the Joel Osteen pledge that he and his congregation say. And they all together say in their 30,000 strong or 20,000 strong, whatever strong they are. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess it. My mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. And he doesn't mean a word of it. It all sounds pretty good until you realize this is a new version quoting dork. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Holy Scriptures are holy to God, but to most Christians, they haven't been hallowed at all. They think nothing of hearing ESVs and ISVs and NIVs and TSVs quoted all over the place. And they think, oh, that's sweet. But I prefer my translation. Now, folks, we are a King James Bible believing church. I know you know that. And I just need to ask you, though, I mean, God hallows the Holy Scriptures. Do you hallow them? And I know that we all agree that the King James Bible is best, and we'll wave it around and sing the songs with it up in the air and stuff. And I know that. But really, it behooves every one of us here to ask ourselves the question, do you really hallow it? I mean, do you read those words and study them regularly? What do they mean to you daily? Do they stop you? Do they change your direction when they go against your opinion? I mean, do you hallow them? Are they holy beyond your own desires and your own opinions and your own appetites? What is your attitude in approaching them? How quickly do you compromise their tenets or their integrity? And I ask that because, folks, literally all over this country, there are churches that say they are King James only. And when you know the right questions to ask, they're not at all. It's just a sad thing. Now, for me and you, the answer should be yes. But you and I both know that each of us fail at some level every day. And so you need, knowing that the Lord considers these holy scriptures, just like He considered the Sabbath, the holy Sabbath, all the way back when He first mentioned it in Exodus 20 in the law, yet Israel and the prophets were still railing on Israel all the way at the end of their history before their captivity of, you guys have got to hallow the Sabbaths. They still hadn't hallowed them. But each generation sequentially has to hallow them. And you have to hallow the Scriptures. However many generations you are deep into the King James Bible believing movement, whether you're the first or the 30th, you personally, still in your own generation personally, have to hallow those Scriptures. Look at, if you will, just Romans. Let me run some things past you. Romans chapter 12. And these are all really familiar. And I'm starting to spread out here now where you should just pull down a concordance sometime and run through the New Testament and look at all that God called holy. And ask yourself if you have hallowed in your dispensation, your properly divided dispensation, if you have properly hallowed the things that God has called holy or said should be holy to you. Because just because He called them holy don't mean that you have hallowed them at all. Amen? Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1. You can quote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Okay, your service to God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Okay, He considers the presentation of your body as a living sacrifice. It should be holy. He said, that is the sacrifice that I want. I want spiritual sacrifices. Okay, have you hallowed your own service? Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a few turns here, and we're not going to be that much longer, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this time, notice down in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Well, you're serving God in this temple, and that temple, He says, is holy. Do you hallow it? is your service in this temple hallowed, or are you just kind of going along and getting along? You know? Look in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? And the word hallowed or holy is not, or well, it is, but the word hallowed is not in this verse. But what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit are supposed to be holy. Your service, do you hallow that service? I mean, is it singularly? Is there service where it's singularly to God? It doesn't so much please you. That's not chief on your mind. It's not chief on your mind whether it's fun, whether you enjoy it. What's chief on your mind is whether He's pleased with it. That's hallowing it. See what I'm saying? Look, if you will, in 1 Peter 2, you were here this morning. And again, I don't have that many more turns for you, so 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2, and be reminded of what verse 5 says. And remember that we in verse 4 are to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in... I'm sorry, that was wrong. I'm in the wrong chapter. 2:5. Sorry, I was in 1:5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and notice a holy priesthood, which offer, supposed to offer holy sacrifices. Your body is supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. So, how hallowed is your service? The Lord says, I want a holy service, and I want a holy temple serving me. How hallowed is your temple? I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying, if you're not careful, you just don't think about it, right? I had missed that the Lord says, my Sabbaths I have hallowed, and they are holy. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel are still screaming up to everybody about, you need to hallow those Sabbaths. What's been going on for hundreds of years now? You need to hallow the Sabbaths. You need to hallow the Sabbaths. Because they weren't hallowed. They weren't hallowing them themselves for themselves. To God they were holy, but to the men that were doing it, they weren't. And so for that reason, the Lord got sick of all that stuff. Right? Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Okay. That's not just preachers. That's not just Timothy and Paul. He's called us with a holy calling. Okay? He says your calling's holy. What do you call it? Have you hallowed your calling? You know, I dare say most Christians have not gotten around to hallowing their calling. Most people, when they hear calling, are thinking, preacher, missionary, nah, not me. Everybody here is called. Have you hallowed your calling? You may not ever be called to go out of the country, but man, you're called to pray. You're called to serve. You're called to give. You're called to witness. You're called to read. You're called to know. You're called to grow. Is that holy to you? Because it's holy to God. But if you don't hallow it, there's nothing that transpires. There's this gap between what God says it should be and is to Him and what it is to you. And we got to be on the same page, right? A holy calling. Your calling is as a son. I mean, how often do you lay down in your bedroom or kneel down by your bed and are conscious of the fact that you have a holy privilege as a son. And so I, as a son, come and speak to my father. But also that I'm a soldier. And I have the privilege of serving in the Lord's army. And that I have been called to be the Lord's soldier. And so as a soldier, answering to my commander, I kneel down by my bed and come to him as a subordinate. As a servant, right? We're called as servants. So I kneel down by my bed and I'm aware that I have the privilege of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that service is holy to him. Is it holy to me? And is it holy to you? Because if you don't hallow it, for you it's not hallowed. He calls it holy and he says it should be holy, but until you hallow it, it's not holy. Right? Look at Jude 20. Jude 20. We've looked at the Lord. The Lord should be hallowed. You have to hallow him. The Lord's name, it's hallowed. It's powerful. You, though, have to personally hallow it. The scriptures are holy scriptures. There's no fault in them. God, they're holy to God. But have you hallowed them? I know you wave your Bible. I know you say amen at the right time. When I make a joke about Joel Osteen, you go like that. Good. But have you hallowed the scriptures for yourself? Your service to God, have you hallowed that? Your holy calling. Is your calling holy just to God and it falls short because it's not? Or have you hallowed it? And what you do unto the Lord. Jude 20. Where you read, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I'm sorry, that's verse 21. Verse 19, verse 20 is what I'm after. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now that thing says that faith is holy. To the Lord, the faith that you bring to Him when you believed on Him and on His Son, that was a holy, sacred, sanctified thing. And so you get saved and you start bebopping through life, and if you're not careful, the most holy faith becomes a little less than holy to you. And each day you get up, it kind of fades further and further. And yeah, it's there, it's important. Like I said, you go to church and all that, but if you're not careful, in the morning when you get up, that faith will not be most holy to you. Because you personally haven't sanctified it and hallowed it. And that's the danger. Isn't that the reason Laodicea is Laodicea? When you stop and think about it, maybe that way. Look, whatsoever the Lord calls holy needs to be hallowed by you. The 1 Thessalonians mentions the holy brethren. Do you consider your brethren holy? I mean, we all know their faults. But in your mind, do you hallow your brethren? Because the Lord calls them holy brethren. Your fellow Christians. He talks about holy hands, a holy conversation, holy children, and he calls you holy. Now, there's places, and I'm not going to cover a lot of these, but, you know, it talked about the Lord hallowing the Sabbath day, okay? A day is, you know, represents time. So let me have you think about this, just a few verses. Let me just run you past these. And you've seen them recently, but Ephesians chapter 5, real fast. Ephesians 5. And down in verse 16, you know the verse. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Right? Redeeming the time. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. And verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Okay, now he doesn't use the word hallow. But time's a pretty valuable thing. And like I said, for a Christian, all ground is holy ground. We don't just operate by commandments and by ritual ordinance, right? I mean, we don't have to worship on a Sabbath. We don't have to come together for the feast. We don't have to not eat shrimp. We don't have to. But in that light, then, the Lord's granted us liberty. Shouldn't there be some things that we hallow to Him that He didn't even say, you have to give that to me? How about time? How would it change your life if you personally hallowed more of your time unto God, where it's just God's? And maybe it's a day, maybe it's the time you get with Him in prayer, and maybe you make a greater effort to do it regularly at a singular time of the day or something like that. But how would it change your life if you genuinely set aside time that you hallowed to God? You made it holy to you and asked Him to bless it. You know? How about 1 Timothy chapter 3 real fast? I'm almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And now I'm kind of shooting from the hip. Because you go and look up all the things that the Lord says is holy in the New Testament and tell me if you've hallowed them. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, whatever is the case, the Lord thinks pretty highly of it. He calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. And I know I'm preaching to the choir in the main here, because I know y'all are all committed. But a lot of people aren't. And I talk to people every week that are interested, but they're out on the outer fringe, and they're interested in staying there. Okay? But shouldn't something as important as that be something that you hallow, that you consider holy, and that you're going to treat it as a treasure to be kept and honored? I wonder how it would change some mainstream Christians' lives if they thought of a Bible-believing church that way. You know? I have one more example for you, and I found this in Bible reading here this week. Look in Luke 7, and I'll be done. And I was thinking about this, and I'm not just trying to hit all the ordinances or anything like that. I kind of hit communion a little while ago, the Lord's Supper. But in Luke chapter 7, it's kind of interesting, because it says, and John the Baptist has sent messengers, and the Lord said, you guys just hang out for a while and look what happens. And said, now you go tell John that the lepers walk, the lame, the lepers are healed, the lame walk, and the blind see, and all those sort of things. And by the way, where does he say that? Verse 23, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, right? Now, when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people. So now they leave, and so now they can't hear him. So now he's going to talk about John. And he says in verse 25, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now watch, this is what I was after. This is what I found. And I hadn't thought about it this way before. And the people that heard him, and the publicans as well, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. So these guys had been baptized with John's baptism. Now, John's baptism was for the purpose, according to Acts 19, of it was a baptism of repentance so that Israel would be in proper shape to believe on the Messiah when he came. That's what John Baptist's baptism was about. So John the Baptist's baptism didn't, you know, impart anything magical to the people, right? Just like your baptism doesn't. Now, our baptism, our believer's baptism, is not the same as John's baptism, I admit. But as far as the impartation of something supernatural, his didn't either. In other words, that baptism was supposed to be real to the people that received it. Just like yours is supposed to be meaningful to you, right? And so, and all the people that heard him, verse 29, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So the ones it meant something to believed on Jesus Christ. And those that didn't get baptized didn't. Now shouldn't, I mean, really, shouldn't your believer's baptism make that sort of division for you? I mean, if you had hallowed that baptism, shouldn't it make a difference in how you live your life? In the sense that, no, I got up and got down in a bunch of water before a bunch of people and said that I was the Lord's son and the Lord's servant, and I intend to do that. In other words, it ought to make a difference because you hallowed it. You made it holy to you. It's not, we don't call it holy baptism because the Catholic Church does that. But the baptism, it should be hallowed to you. It should mean something to you that the Lord wanted you to do this to affiliate yourself with Him. So once again, the title of the message is Hallowing the Holy. And it may be holy to God, but unless you've hallowed it for yourself, it's not holy. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,